Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm a feminist, but today I was in a real hurry to get to the theatre, so I didn't have a chance to plan an outfit. So I quickly grabbed the dress I wore to this show in Brisbane last night. And I thought, as I walked down onto the stage, some people have been to the show in Brisbane both nights and are going to judge me and think, we've seen that dress. And I was really self-conscious about it. They're going to be thinking, is that her show dress? Does she have no imagination? I've seen her on Instagram. She seems like she likes fashion and she likes... But she's disappointed me with the same dress both nights. I genuinely thought that. You're wearing the same dress too? Oh, sister. That's feminism in action. One of the repeat audience members has declared herself to be also wearing the same dress. If that, that isn't feminism, what is feminism?
That was so gorgeous. She just came in like, don't worry about it. That was nice.
That's really nice.
I am a feminist, but I wish I was objectified more.
I know what you mean, Steph. I would like to be sexually objectified for an hour a week. Genuinely, just start the clock, fill up my tank, and then, how dare you, after that? How the fuck dare you?
So I should probably make a caveat. I want to be objectified more by sevens and above.
Oh! You cannot say sevens and above! Steph!
This... I said but. I'm a feminist but. I said it.
But I killed a woman earlier. Like, sevens and above.
I have very low self-esteem. I just want a hot guy to be like, hey, mum, and I'll be like... Thank you, yeah, I am a woman.
This is gone, really. No, last night's show wasn't like this, Stefan. I think it's you.
I think it is me.
Okay, I'm a feminist, but... Recently, I had a yoga instructor who was so hot. He was very, very handsome, very, very tan, like beachy type. I mean, you know. Yeah.
And he was quite commanding. Yeah. The opposite, by the way, of how we want men to be in real life. But he kept sort of instructing in an instructing voice. Do you know what I mean? And then quite a few times he came up and he corrected my alignment. With a laying on of hands. Now, I'm a feminist, but I thought about deliberately misaligning my warrior too. As he was passing by. Just to see if he'd correct the hips. You do one.
I'm a feminist, but I did use a number scale to rate the looks of men.
You did that. And not only did you do it, you didn't do it discreetly in the dressing room amongst friends where we all know it's a joke. And, you know, like, it's not great, but, you know, we're not putting that out to the world. We're not... You did it on stage. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
In front of an audience.
I wish I could swallow it back up, but I can't. Does it help that I'm feeling really fucking guilty about it? Because I feel bad about it.
Yeah, that's why we have this confessional section. I'm a feminist, but tonight, when Monique Murphy, who's one of our guests, the amazing Paralympian swimmer, turned up, she had bedazzled her prosthetic leg, as she had last time that I met her. Last time she put the guilty feminist on her leg, she bedazzled the prosthetic. Tonight she turned up and she had bedazzled her leg with the word Deborah. And I felt like a fucking rock star. I felt like Mick Jagger. I felt like, good. Yeah.
I'm a feminist, but I did get accused of bullying a baby today.
Okay. Now... We're all going to need more information, Steph.
Okay, look, I'm a comedian. I laugh at shit. That's my whole thing. Like, I've got to laugh at things. Otherwise, you know. Anyway, my friend had a baby. I'm very awkward around babies. I met the baby at 2 weeks old. As we all know, the ugliest week. And... I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
I can't see why anyone thought you'd bullied it. Was that your leader? Oh, it's the ugliest week.
It's actually my favourite. I think it's the cutest time. You know when they start to, you know how their first hair rubs off? So yeah. They start losing their first hair and they get milk pimples and that. Mm. I love that stage. Mm. I love it's the cutest, like you can feel them growing and that. Now I met the baby and said, look at him, cute little baldy rash cakes. Because that's how I would talk to my baby if I had one. And then we had a falling out today. This was a couple of months ago, and at the time, she laughed. And then today when we had a falling out, she said, you bullied my baby.
It doesn't know. It's not bullying. Well, and it's not lowering its self-esteem. It doesn't know.
Well, that's what I think. Like, to be fair.
To be fair.
It's a victimless crime.
Live from the Powerhouse Theatre in Brisbane, the Spot Today Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Francis White, guest host, Steph Tinsel, and our very special guests, Amy Shepherd, Monique Murphy, and Jessica Taylor, talking about the body. In which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. I'm Deborah Frances White. I'm with Steph Tisdall. And tonight we're doing a bumper body special. We're talking about different parts of the body. How do you feel about your body?
Not great. It's lumpy. They can see me. For the people at home listening to the podcast... I like wearing muumuus, and that's all I'm going to say.
You know, I feel very much that we've all been... We've been trained not to listen to our body, to listen to what it wants, but we've also been trained that if we take our body out and to a professional and say, I've heard what my body said and it said this, sometimes that professional will tell us, you can't trust your body. I'm talking about sometimes doctors, and some doctors are incredible, but there are some doctors... Just give us a... if you've had an experience of telling a doctor something and then feeling not believed. Give us an if you've never felt that. Only a man. Now, interesting though. It's interesting though. And I think that's part of it. And then we're billboarded all the time with, you know, oh, your body should look like this. Your body should look like that. And it shouldn't. Your body, Steph, should look exactly how it looks. Beautiful.
Stop it, you guys. Let's all get naked. That'll be fun.
I went to Fire Island recently, which is a sort of an
island. Is it the one from the documentary?
No, not the Fire Festival. I'm not to the Fire Festival. It's an island off Manhattan. That's part of, I think it's part of Long Island, and it's a long sandbank. It's really only open in the summer, and it's where gay men go to party, basically. Awesome. And when I was there, I got taken to an underwear party, which meant that I had to check my dress at the door. You know the way you check your coat? Of course you don't, you're from Brisbane. But you don't have coats, you don't own coats. But you know when you have a cardigan in the winter, on the coldest day of winter? Say you went into a club and they said you can't bring that cardigan in here, which they never would. You need to check it at the door, right? Or, you know, it's not a relatable piece of comedy. But they made me check my dress. They made me take my dress off, put it in a plastic bag, and they gave me a bit of a number, which I slipped into my bra. And off I went in pants and a bra.
Was it really empowering?
And by pants, I don't mean trousers, I mean knickers. Or what do you call underwear?
Yeah, undies.
Panties,
knickers.
Undies, yeah. But I think dancing in my underwear was one of the most liberating experiences. I said no at first, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
I said no.
We hate ourselves and nobody can look at our shame. Yes.
But you know what?
As a woman, is that relatable? Just me?
I mean, I think sometimes it's really easy as feminists to go, I love my body, I love it all the time. I'm body positive, I'm body acceptance, I'm fat acceptance, I'm whatever. And if the truth is not really that, I think it's actually sometimes liberating to go, I'm a feminist, but I don't feel those things. But the way to feel them more is, I've discovered, dance in your underwear.
Nice.
Now, there's no a straight equivalent of the underwear party because straight men would ruin it. But we all know it's true. We all know it's true. But dancing with gay men, there were only men that were there were gay or straight. There was one man there that was straight, but he was straight but not narrow, if you know what I mean. Which is very much how I identify. If you're listening at home, I've slid on my reading glasses because I happen to know that I'm more attractive to women in them due to the emails I've received. I think it's a librarian thing, you know? Mm. So, librarian glasses, hair up, right? Hair up. Can you just hold my mic for a second?
Absolutely.
Thank you. And then, now I'm going to take the glasses off and let my hair down. Like I'm in a 1945 screwball comedy. Actually, let's put it a little bit later just to get us out of the war. I don't want this to be sad. A 1949 screwball comedy. So I'm going to be a very strict librarian who goes, shh, in my library.
Yep.
And then you bring up your book, Steph. Could you just ad-lib here?
Yep. Just... Sorry.
And then I see that the book that you're reading, that you want to check out, is my favourite book. And then, to see the book better, I take my glasses off and magically shake my hair down. Told you, more attractive to women. There we are.
I'm glad we did that.
Birth. Well, I was born here in Redcliffe. I mean, a massive excitement for Redcliffe there. Give us a cheer if you're from Redcliffe. I was only there for the first 10 days, but what I remember of it was lovely. Charming, charming. There was a beach. That's all I remember. Give us a cheer if you've come from Brisbane tonight, a part of Brisbane. Give us a cheer if you've come from not Brisbane. Where have you come from? Lismore. You know we're doing one on the Gold Coast. Yeah, I feel like this is... You didn't want to go to the Gold Coast. I get it. Anyone from anywhere else? From where?
Dublin.
Dublin. You haven't come specially for this. You did not come. We play Dublin all the time. Thank you for coming, though. Really do. Has anyone travelled today to get to here that doesn't... The Gold Coast? We're playing the Gold Coast tomorrow night. And it's not sold out. So if you could come again tomorrow night to the Gold Coast, that would be helpful. Oh, you are? Okay, fine. Okay. Mackay, thank you. Well done. What was that? Oh, the Sunshine Coast. Hello. Anyone else in from the Sunshine Coast? We should come up there next time. There'd be at least... Yeah, there'd be at least 10 of us. It would be... Just go out for dinner. And seriously, if anyone's interested in coming to the Gold Coast tomorrow night... I'm deadly serious. Because this whole tour has sold out, or nearest damn it will sell out, bar the Gold Coast, where I was raised. So I left Brisbane when I was 4. That was a big mistake. I should never have left home. But my family moved there when I was 4, just to be clear. And that is very much the only show that hasn't sold out, because a prophet is never accepted in her hometown. Listen, I am not saying I'm Jesus. He only had 12 followers. I've got like 45,000 on Instagram, so... Now, just give us a cheer if you came to the show last night here in Brisbane. Not many of them, but they're very keen. And which you know, they've been here 2 nights. So thank you so much for coming back. Thank you. I did promise you the whole show is going to be different, which it is going to be different. It's going to be very different. Some of this bit might be the same. I haven't done anything. Have I done anything the same so far?
Yeah.
Very judgmental. I mean, I've got to say hello, gang. I didn't do this whole bit about where are you from last night. I did. But I've got to plug the Gold Coast show again. And the way that I did the prophet joke last night was different. It was at a different place. It was a slightly different context. I've recontextualized. You know, most comedians just do the same 20 minutes in an identical fashion. And last night, I improvised all of the stand-up that I did. You know that 5 points for that man? Completely ad-libbed. I cannot replicate it because I can't remember it. So what I would ask you, sir, is to lower your expectations. If indeed you are a sir, I do not want to impose gender upon you. Are you a sir? Yeah. I knew that not from the timbre of your voice, but from what you said. Men. Coincidentally, my favourite sitcom. Really, very little comedy in that situation for me. So if you, sir, if you see, what's your name? It's too late now, so you have participated of your own free will. And what's your name? Ron, thank you. Thank you for coming twice, though, Ron. To be fair to Ron. Fair to Ron. To be strictly fair to you, Ron, you've been twice. Is it, though, because a woman has brought you to educate you? Or did you come of your own free will? Double the feminist or half? It's not clear, is it? If you're listening at home and you didn't hear what Ron said, but knew it was something because of the reaction, he said, I've brought a different woman each night. Ron, we're going to need more information. As a group. I am aware that sometimes this is a second date show. I can't tell you the amount of times I've ended up talking to someone in the audience or finding out that a woman was brought by a man who was clearly trying to impress her to get her into bed because he has gifted her comedic feminism. That's what is happening. I mean, they say that's not what's happening. They say, oh no, I just love the guilty... I think it's a real date thing. It's really like... I think men put it on their Tinder bios. Big fan of the guilty feminist. What? Oh my God. You're a feminist? Definitely yes. And then they've got to follow through with tickets to the show, you know, yada, yada, yada. I'm pretty sure, Ron, I do not wish to impose, imply, project. So you tell me your story in your own words. Good, going well so far for Ron. Beyond the second date, 10 years. So if you're listening at home, Ron has a partner, wife or partner? Don't want to impose. We use both, okay. Then wife, okay. All right, so Ron's wife of a decade, well beyond the second date, who is pregnant, you might think that's an irrelevant detail, Ron doesn't. He wants you to know that is locked down. Locked down. So he has brought his pregnant wife, and that was last night? Tonight. Is she finding out for the first time, sitting next to you here, that last night you were here with another woman? Or did she know about last night? For Ron! Ron brought his mum last night. We love you, Ron. We love you, Ron. Ron, if only you hadn't brought your wife. Oh, your sex appeal has rocketed, Ron! There are some feminists in this audience who are halfway there, Ron. Didn't do any of this material last night, did I, Ron? Oh, Ron. What a man, though. What a man. What a man. If only we all had such a man who would buy tickets for their mother for a feminist show on Saturday and us on this. I mean, it's incredible. Well done, Ron. Well done. Seriously, though, Ron. We do love you. We love you, Ron. What do you do, Ron? Ron? Sorry, I couldn't stop myself. I wanted to. I tried to stop myself, and I think you need to know that I tried. I tried. I have an impulse control problem there. I just went, don't. Oh, it's happened. I was halfway there, Ron. That's not the sound I make when I orgasm, just to be clear. Just to be clear, in case anyone was wondering, it's probably the only thing I haven't told you on the podcast in 4 years. I give away too much. What do you do, Ron? A teacher. Who do you teach? Year two. Oh. He teaches small children because he is an empathetic carer. Like 99% of the women you know. But he is a man. And he has shed his toxicity. Like it's a scarf he doesn't need. Thrown it to the wind. Ron. Oh. Oh. There's probably a woman in the audience tonight who's brought her mum and is a teacher. Yeah. You brought your mum and you're a teacher?
No, I'm not a teacher, but I brought my mum.
Oh. Well, look, if you were a teacher and you'd brought your mum, we'd love you, but we wouldn't want to make a calendar of you. Because we have different expectations for women. We want to make a calendar of Ron, January to December, because a different pose each time, one with his wife, one of him reading my book, one of him teaching the children. Because we have different expectations for men. And we expect so much less of them that when they deliver anything at all, we're just like, you're the Messiah. And you're not, Ron. That's me. We've covered that. Please welcome to the stage the incredible Steph Tisdall. Woo-hoo!
Hello, beautiful Brisbane. That's my friend. How you doing? My name is Steph. It's actually really cool to be here. I am not the bitch that I have come across as. It's a strong Steph, I'd say. Why did I continue with it? I should have left it. Didn't. I'm a very proud Aboriginal woman. We come in history, I can imagine that would have been the same sort of noise in the past, but with pitchforks, so... Do we have any black fellas in tonight? Three! No, I'm a very, very proud Aboriginal woman, but I have to tell you this one thing, right? I have a terrible habit of using humour when I feel uncomfortable, hence bullying a baby, but also... I get myself into some weird situations, and I don't really... Okay, there's really no kind of getting around it, but I feel safe in this area. I have to tell you, I was recently in a very uncomfortable situation. I was getting a pap smear, and just for fun, mind you, just walked in. Said, look, if you got some time, can you give it a smear? I think it's papus smearis in Latin. And... No, I walked in, I said, oh, yeah, well, I had to get a pap smear. Now, the doctor could obviously tell that I was super uncomfortable, right? And so she thought she would make some general chit-chat to make me feel better. And while she was elbow deep in me, she said, she said, can I just ask, what's your heritage? And I was like, why, what the fuck did you find? What is up there? It's a chicken wing of all things, so... Sorry, that's hideous. It was a drumstick. I'm not a heathen, but... I told her I'm a proud Aboriginal woman, and then as I left, I realised I had just missed the perfect opportunity to do a welcome to country, so... I thought I might just tell you because this is the body special is do we have any like busty women in? Yeah. Woo! I just want to let you know also, like, don't stress, like, sometimes people go, yeah, like, I'm not recruiting, just building a human raft, need all the buoyancy we can get. I'm a double J, and that's fucked, and I think we can all agree a double J is not a bra size, it's a radio station. And, man, I lose shit down there sometimes. Like, one time I lost a sandwich, fucker came out toasted. currently incubating some chicken eggs. So bras are very expensive. My favourite bra broke, right? And I was really worried about where my nipples would be placed for you. So I had to go and buy a bra today, just from Target. Just bought a fucking tarp. And and now, for those of you listening at home, this is going to get visual because I have to show you this. But I will describe what is going on right now. Also, Deborah is looking. So this is the bra. This is the tarp that I got. And check this out. What the fuck is that? I believe they're supposed to be called teats, but I... And I got thinking about it, right, because I hate having big boobs. I always used to be real shame about them because people would always go, big tits, you know. And you can't turn around and go, small tits, that's bullying. But I've decided I'm going to try and use this to my advantage. Like, I'm going to put a face on it and become a ventriloquist and just tour. Clarence and Steph. But Clarence is real cheeky, you know? But also, I thought, I'll make some money off it. Maybe I can start, like, producing my own milk, you know? Like, I don't know the science, but I feel like I should be able to produce more. That's my thing, right? And I just figure, you know how vegans can't drink dairy because they can't get consent from the animal? If I was very consenting, you know, have a sip. Surely that'd help. But I did also think, I went, you know what, I know how Australians think, so I'll start creating my own cheese. Maybe I'll call it coon cheese. Take it off the fucking shelves! Don't fucking buy it, take it off the shelves. If you're offended by the joke, don't eat the fucking cheese, it's not a last name. Yes! Thank you! Thank you, Deb. I think I am finished. Thank you very much. Thank you.
When you say I think I'm finished, do you mean finish my set, or do you think I think I'm cancelled? I think that's the cheese joke. If you're listening internationally, there is a brand of cheese in Australia,
yes,
called
coon cheese.
Yes.
And let me just, sorry, just a bit of education. People go, oh, it's the last name. It's not even. Look into the history of it. There was a guy from America whose last name was Coon, and he had a particular way of creating his cheese. Nothing to do with the factory that created cheese in Australia. They were just like, oh, he uses that process.
Right.
And then they called it coon cheese.
Also, it just doesn't matter what the history of it is. Just change it.
Absolutely.
Just change it because it's also a slur.
Yes.
Like,
I'm trying to take the word back.
Yeah.
I'm trying to take the word back and make people feel shocked to hear it. If I know that people are shocked to hear it, I go, at least they aren't the kind of people who would use it against me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Thank you so much to everyone who's contributing via Patreon. We had our second monthly Zoom hangout last week for our top patrons, and we're doing a special hangout for all patrons on the 2nd of July at 8 p.m. London time. Places are limited on that, so look out for a message coming via Patreon very soon. And we have new merch coming, which will be exclusive to Patreon supporters for the first 2 weeks. On Sunday, the 28th of June, I will be on Sunday Morning Live on BBC One, British Television, talking to Sally Phillips and Sean Fletcher. So join me for that. I'm also on the Cameo app, where I can make videos for friends and relatives, and 100% of the fee goes to Choose Love. So far, we've made $4,500 for Choose Love, so thank you to everybody who has booked a Cameo video. And finally, my book is available as a book, an ebook, or an audiobook, wherever you buy those things. It's called The Guilty Feminist. And if you would like to support me, but are not supporting Patreon, please check that out. And now, back to the podcast.
Put your hands together and make incredible welcoming noises for Amy Shepherd and Jay from the band Shepherd.
Kiss my fat ass.
I don't wanna be like every other girl that's on TV. Underneath the bright lights, they all want perfection out of me. How did we let it get so bad? It's out of our control. I've gone and said it, I don't regret it. It's too bad I'm not your Barbie doll. K-I-S-S, you can kiss my fat ass. I won't fall for it today. You should be better, you should be better. No, I would, I just waste away. You should be thinner, you should be thinner. Comfortable in my skin, why should that be a sin? We're all made in our peculiar ways. Well, I'm done with this stupid game, and as I'm leaving, you can kiss my fat ass. Time to slay the monster feeding off our insecurities. I know we can't be conquered, so pour out all the potions and the teas. They keep supplying, we keep on buying, almost like it's out of our control. I've gone and said it, I don't regret it. It's too bad I'm not your Barbie doll. K-I-S-S, you can kiss my fat ass. I won't fall for it today. You should be better, you should be better. No, why would I just waste away? You should be thinner, you should be thinner. Comfortable in my skin, why should that be a sin? We're all made in our peculiar ways. Well, I'm done with this stupid game, and as I'm leaving, you can kiss my fat ass. Nip tuck, trim suck, put it back together. Lip cut, tit butt, you can live forever. Nip tuck, trim suck, put it back together. Lip cut, tit butt, you can last forever. K-I-S-S, you can kiss my fat ass. I won't fall for it today. You should be better, you should be better. No, why would I just waste away? You should be thinner, you should be thinner. Comfortable in my skin, why should that be a sin? We're all made in our peculiar ways. Well, I'm done with this stupid game, and as I'm leaving, you can kiss my fat ass.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And Shepherd, everybody! Thank you, Jay. Jay there on guitar, who's one of the Very few men to grace the Guilty Feminist stage. Thank you very much, Jay. Amy, come and join us on the panel. Yes. Amy Shepherd, everybody.
That was awesome.
Come take a seat.
That was so cool.
It was so good.
Thank you.
Also on our panel today, Monique Murphy is a swimmer and Paralympic silver medalist. She is also an ambassador for the Endometriosis Association of Queensland, working to support women and their loved ones and educating workspaces and sporting teams about the condition. And Jessica Taylor, who is the president of the Endometriosis Association Queensland, which aims to provide education, information and support to women affected by the condition. Please put your hands together and join us in welcoming Monique and Jessica. Hello! Come take a seat.
Hi, I'm Monique Murphy. Might remember me from last year, very excited to be back here, and I brought two of my wonderful friends.
Hello, I'm Jessica Taylor and I'm the president of Quendo, which is the longest running endometriosis organisation in Australia.
Wow!
And I'm Amy Shepherd from Brisbane Band Shepherd, and I started a movement last year called Kiss My Fat Ass.
Wonderful. So we're going to start with Monique Murphy. Now, Monique joined us in Brisbane a year ago.
Yep.
Monique, you're a para-athlete, and I know that's not what you're here to talk about tonight. You're here to talk about endometriosis, but could you give us a quick update on what you've been doing since we heard from you last?
So last year, it was about April, so a few months after we met, I qualified for my fifth Australian swim team.
Yay!
Yes! So I was heading off to the World Championships in London, and I was really frustrated because I wasn't swimming well. So I finally put my foot down and told my doctor I wanted to see a specialist. And a few weeks later, I had a laparoscopy and was diagnosed with endometriosis and adenomosis. And a few weeks after that, I had this lovely lady chase me down on the street and ask me to be a part of a body positivity music video. And I thought, yep, that's clearly because I don't have a leg, so they'll just focus on the prosthetic and that sounds fine. And after contacting quite a few Amy Shepherds on Instagram that weren't actually the Amy Shepherd, I found out that she wanted to do this incredible video with all these women dancing in their underwears. And I thought, fuck no. But by then I felt I was too far down the rabbit hole and they were clearly at the point where they were harassing strangers on the street.
Yeah.
I really felt like I needed to do that.
Yeah. But that, you know that story I told about Fire Island? Dancing about, I found it so liberating and I thought, why do we ever dance in clothes? Like, I actually loved it. I really, really loved it. And my first response was also no. But I actually loved it. Did you love it when you were doing it?
Absolutely. By the end of the day, I remember I had to go grab something for my car and I almost ran out into the streets of Brisbane in just my underwear because I forgot that we're meant to wear clothes. Because we just felt...
It's so easy to
forget. Amy had this amazing ability to just make everyone feel so at home and comfortable in our own skin.
I met somebody the other day who runs life drawing, like empowerment through like life drawing. And I was like, I reckon that's my... I have this whole thing about I want to feel good within myself because I need to be at ease with myself. Does that make sense? And thank you. Who is it? I'll find them later. I need friends. I lost that one today because the baby is it. This woman was, she was running this workshop about like life drawing and said it's as empowering and vulnerable for the painter as it is for the model. And she was telling a story, like similar in your Fire Island story, Fire Festival, whatever it was, and your story about dancing in your underwear, which by the way, so cool that you did that. She said that she had somebody who was in the room painting a life model who was a like a plus size model who was all about body positivity, and this woman drew this beautiful picture of her, came in the next week and said, hey, I love myself now. She said, oh, that's beautiful. What happened? She said, well, I got to look at a woman and find every beautiful shadow in her body and every shape and really learn the true beauty of who we are down to the, like, you know. And she said, and then I looked at myself in the mirror this week and went, oh, I have that. And I thought it was super, super, super empowering. So there's something about being
liberated or other people allowing you to feel liberated in that moment.
It's a really interesting insight that it's good to be the model and it's good to be the artist.
Yeah.
And we should all do both.
Yeah.
Let's do it now. Everyone, kiss off.
I saw somebody post this on, it was one of those sort of silly pages that I get annoyed with where it's like motivational quotes, just the background is just a mountain or some shit. But I saw a really, really, really good quote, and it said, look back at a photo of you 5 years ago, and if you love how you looked in that photo, think about if you loved yourself at that time. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't, it's not how you look, it's the thoughts.
It's the lens, yeah.
Yeah.
When we were doing the video, what was really interesting is there were little segments where each of us had to go out in front of the camera on our own and just sort of dance around. Mm. And watching the other women do that, and we had a woman who had just given birth 6 weeks, I think, before this video. And, you know, when I was watching her and the other women dancing, I wasn't looking at their legs or their stomachs or anything. I was just like, they look so beautiful and proud and amazing. And I thought, when I get out there, all I'm thinking about is my stomach and my thighs and my thing. But I thought, if I can just be happy and dance in my underwear the way I do at home, that's going to shine through brighter than what I'm noticing in my own imperfections, because I wasn't picking that up from the other girls when they were out there.
Indeed. And Mon, you were beautiful. You were just amazing.
I was also just copying you.
They're really not imperfections. They're not. Nothing's normal. Everybody's different. But it is not standard or not typical for a woman's stomach to be concave. If you've got a concave stomach, that's one thing you can have. But it is not standard or typical. That is something we are sold. It is not an imperfection for a stomach to be round, for a belly to be round. It isn't. I know we've all got this strange training in our brain that we think our thighs are an imperfection. They're not an imperfection. They're just thighs. And thighs come in all shapes and sizes, and some thighs have dimply skin on them. It isn't an imperfection. When men go into a funding situation, so like, Monique, if you're going in to ask for funding as a Paralympian, I think in those situations, I'm not saying men never think these things about their bodies, men do, but if they're going in for a funding application, they are not signaled that anything cosmetic is relevant. And we are going, if only, oh, I've tried on 3 outfits, I can still see my hips. What? Well, that's the bit that goes from there, without, how would your legs stay on though? Otherwise, it's just... And I think if we're hating ourselves all the time, it is doing something to us and it is undermining us. Tell us about endometriosis. Smooth segue.
So when I got diagnosed, which was May of last year, it was just a word that I'd heard sort of being floating around. And I think I'd started following Quendo on Instagram and just reading a bit more about what women were going through. And it was just sort of like that checklist, like, yep, I have back pain, yep, I've got stomach pain, I've got irregular periods. And it's just ticking all these boxes. So I...
Hold on, sorry, can you please go through them? Because I feel like I'm...
All right.
Could you give us the symptoms again? Yeah, give us the symptoms again.
So what endometriosis is the lining of the uterus is being deposited around the pelvis. So it's not in the uterus anymore, it's going out around. And Jess will take over because she's much more...
Jess.
I just want to clarify.
Yes.
So
Jess Taylor is the president of the Endometriosis Association of Queensland, an expert. Jess, tell us everything.
So I'm not a doctor, I will preface that. And we're also Australia-wide, I'll also plug that. So endometriosis is where tissue that's similar to the lining of the uterus is found in other parts of the body. So people might have it along their nasal cavity, they might have it in their bowel.
What?
It travels throughout the body and implants somewhere, and then it just has a party, pain, bleeding.
This is the crazy shit I've ever heard of.
I did not know.
But it doesn't leave. It's the friend that doesn't ever leave your body. So there's no cure for the disease. And it can present in so many different ways. It can present if someone's had a trauma and then they might have heavy bleeding, they might have some clotting, they might have lower back pain.
So, Monique, you're putting your hand up there. Is the trauma because you had an accident?
My accident, yeah.
If you haven't listened to the episode where Monique talks about her response to an accident where she lost her leg from the knee down, lost her leg from below the knee, was that she decided, oh, I probably should just go to the Paralympics. Which is how I respond when I have an accident. I think I'll just become more sporty. But that accident was obviously very traumatic, and that's triggered endometriosis in you because God's a charmer.
Yeah. Yeah, well. So my doctor is Dr. Graham Chonk, who, he's a Ron. Let's just put that out there.
Oh.
Absolutely. Absolutely Dr. Ron. Amazing. But yeah, no, so he believes that the trauma and the stress from that accident, so I didn't have a period for a while, and the first one that I did have was horrifically painful. And I remember I didn't have any pads on me. I was in the rehab centre down in Melbourne, and I went out to the front desk, and the nurses on call that night, you know, they were a bit older, and when I said, oh, I need some pads for my periods, they all had a bit of a laugh, and they were like, it's okay, honey, come with us. Took me around to the supply closet, and she looks at me and goes, so we don't actually have any pads, but we do have the bladder control nappies for the elderly.
Oh.
And we'll give you the men's ones because they're not quite so bulky.
Of course they're not.
So I had to, thankfully I had a friend come the next day with some pads that I actually wanted, and I just tucked the male incontinence nappies in the drawer, and they weren't found until we were packing up and leaving, and my dad opens up the drawer. Going, what are these? I was like, oh, I just got them for you because you'll need them soon.
So endometriosis often can lay dormant in young teenage girls, and some people who might have a really painful period or those symptoms from onset of their cycles. In other people, the symptoms don't rear their ugly heads until there's some kind of trauma. We don't know. Researchers are trying so hard to work out what is actually going on and why does all this happen. The leading idea is that it is genetic. There's a 70% chance of passing it on to other family members, and the other 30% is environmental.
But not through sneezing. That's important to say, isn't it?
Genetic, yeah. So you can pass it on through giving birth to someone.
Yes. No, I'm sorry. I just like the way you worded it. I'm a dickhead.
No, just to be incredibly
clear. You cannot catch it. It is not an STI.
Okay. All right. So what do you need to be looking out for? Give us symptoms. Don't give us symptoms, but tell us, explain okay. The symptoms.
So if someone is having a period where they're in pain, and the pain goes for more than 2 days of their cycle, mm-hmm. and it cannot be managed by simple Panadol, Nurofen and a heat pack, that warrants further investigation. Mm-hmm. If you're having pain on intercourse, if you're having pain through a bowel motion or while you're urinating, that is not normal. None of that's normal, and so many girls and women in our community think it is normal because they put pain down to being normal and a part of being a female.
And I think one of my most frustrating experiences with it is when I found out I needed the surgery, the first people I had to tell obviously called my mum, but then it's like, well, I've got 3 months until the World Championships. I need to tell my coach. I need to tell the staff on the team, I need to tell the doctors on the team, and they're all men. And their general response is, do you really need it? Can't you just train through it? Like, and I mean, I have not performed at my best in a good 3 years. So when I competed at the Rio Paralympics, I had my first period in 2 years just before those games. So that was the real onset. I look back at it now and I'm like, that was all endo. And, you know, I'd be in tears at training, and my coach would just be like, is it pain or are you just sore? And just want the results.
Can I animate this? So you know the game Fruit Ninja?
The game Fruit Ninja?
Fruit Ninja, where the fruit pops down and you get your... So imagine fruit...
I don't actually know it. Can you just say the fruit pops down and...
The fruit pops down and you have
bombs. Oh, you slice it with a knife.
And you slice it with a knife.
This is an online game, yeah.
Like an app. And
it's not one where someone comes to the house and... So just checking.
So imagine that fruit is your uterus.
Oh no.
Yeah. And you have
I don't
bombs
want to do that, please, Jessica.
And you're swiping.
Can
I
you
was
stop?
Wondering where you were going with that.
Yeah. Can so you that... please stop? So imagine the fruit is my uterus, and then what? It drops down.
So in the game,
and I have to slice it with a knife.
That's what it feels like. So all coming down, and knives are going everywhere, and bombs are going off, and that's what some people feel. That's the pain some people feel.
And we should say this can affect women, but also trans men and non-binary people who
anyone with a uterus. Yeah.
Anyone with a uterus. So if you are having these symptoms, because I think a lot of the times we're coded to think, oh, your period's going to really hurt. and we just think we have very painful periods because there's an expectation that women and other people with uteruses should expect a lot of pain, and no one's really going to do anything for that.
It's just the joy of being a woman.
Yeah, if it was...
That's what my coach would say. It's just the joy of being a woman.
And if it was a condition that affected cis men, I think it would be cured by now, honestly. Just the regular period.
Amen.
I'm not talking about endometriosis. I'm talking about periods would have been cured by now.
I have a theory, Deb.
Please, tell me more.
I may be testing out a bit. I have a theory about helping with, like, teenage pregnancy. You know how we sort of push women to get contraception, which requires pre-planning? Maybe we should just set a government campaign to shame men from coming inside of women and then have the campaign just say, hey, mate, come off it. Like?
Yeah.
Thank you. I did just test a bit. I shouldn't have done that.
No, I love... You're on a comedy podcast. You can test any bit you want, babe.
I did want to ask, though. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, I don't know why I went down that track. Is it... That's quite womanly of me. I apologise a lot, right? Is that something you have to untrain yourself? Completely.
Most of us do it a little bit too much. Mm. But it's a bit like dancing in your pants. You get over it by getting over it, by doing something different, by choosing to do the uncomfortable thing until it becomes comfortable. Someone said to me the other night... Do the uncomfortable thing until it becomes boring.
Nice. I like that.
When dancing publicly in your pants becomes boring, that's when you don't need to do it anymore. Continue.
I wanted to ask you, it's really interesting, certain things trigger a certain response from me, right? And this in particular, when you see something that you go, that's a very predominantly female health concern, and when you focus on that, you go, oh, fuck, we still need a bit of help. You know what I mean? Like, we're still not where we need to be. For you, before you got involved with endo research and running this amazing organisation, which thank you, by the way, there's a lot of people who've probably really benefited from it, did you sort of notice your like anger rising or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I was the kind of person who would be writing campaigns in year two and, you know, I was out...
And then, when you were six, you were an activist.
I was an activist at six.
Bless you.
And thank you. Yeah,
another 6-year-old activist.
So I have my own struggle with endometriosis, right? Just the pain was just so incredible. And I would faint because I was in pain. And this is a really common thing that people just think is, oh, okay, I just fainted. I'll just get on with my life. So over the years of doctors telling me it's my appendix, my mum telling me it was fine, it was a part of being a female, I got really angry. And I think when you go through that journey of diagnosis, you grieve and you grieve the option and the choice and the decisions to make your own health decisions, I guess. And so when I was finally told that there's a reason for what's going on with my body, I thought, my God, I can't be the only one out there.
But do you feel a responsibility to also educate people on the sort of the feminist side of things? Because it's obviously so related, that attitude of that's just part of being a woman. And I think that's such a relatable thing, you know, like of, oh, just people, that's just exactly what people say, you know, like even when it comes down to things like sex, for example.
Or Brazilian waxing.
Yes, fucking on, fuck that. No. I'm sorry. Okay, sorry, on that note, can I just say, I had a Ron in my past, not that Ron, wasn't that Ron. I had a Ron in my past who changed everything for me. So I don't know why I'm telling, this is, I can't believe I'm telling this group of people this. I used to shave me bits and then I met a Ron and I was doing the things with the Ron and then the do Ron it was called.
Yep.
And I said, oh, sorry, I'm a bit spiky, you know, I should have shaved again. He went, no, why the fuck would I want you to look like a prepubescent girl? You should be hairy because you're a woman. And now I don't get Brazilian waxes.
Good for you.
Good on you. Is there anything anyone came to say they don't feel they said that they would like to leave on the table?
I think it's okay to question things when you go. I've seen over 20 doctors before I found one who would listen to me. And it's okay to question and to keep pushing. Mm-hmm. And then it's okay to go back and re-educate them. And
And to any hardworking doctors who are in our audience or listening internationally, we also love you, we need you, we respect you, we absolutely do. And to doctors who don't listen or just say it's just normal to have the kind of pain where you faint for your period, please, 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 please test people for endometriosis.
How do you get tested?
That's the thing, is to be diagnosed, you have to have a laparoscopy. So I had 4 incisions, and I think Graham said that they found so much endometriosis, whenever they had to remove it, they had to take about 3 to 4 centimetres of tissue with it. So now what I'm dealing with is what we think is a whole lot of scar tissue and adhesions, which is making it very hard to like eat any food because I get all these IBS symptoms, very hard to train. I've since moved clubs. I now have Tracy Menzies is my coach, who is Ian Thorpe's former coach.
Hey.
Absolutely. One of our only female coaches who's been at an Olympic level, and fingers crossed, hopefully Paralympic this year. But I knew I had to change coaches because I wasn't getting the support, and I didn't really have the time to educate and train at the same time. And it's something that I'm working with Jess and a few other Olympic and para swimmers to educate not just swimming coaches but other coaches, because it's so heavily majority men, and we shouldn't be pushing through that pain. We shouldn't be pushing through.
And you said that there's 4 people on the team with endometriosis?
Yeah, so I think the stats are 1 in 9 women, roughly, on our team.
So there'll be 1 in 9 women on your team?
No, it's more on our team. Like, we definitely have a higher percentage. So I think being an athlete, there is so much stress, there is so much, you know, I put on weight through this process. I'm on a lot of hormonal medications to suppress a period, put on weight. I've got a race next week. I'm freaking out about putting on a suit to race in. I'm freaking out about seeing all the male coaches next week on my training camp, because I know what their first comments are going to be.
What?
So.
Thank you.
If you were listening at home, that heckle from a number of corners of the audience was fuck them. A very Australian sentiment.
So this is where I just go and watch the video that I did with Amy and just, you know, remind myself that.
Yeah, because you, like in the music industry, in the sporting biz, there is this pressure.
It's an old school thought and standard of what an athlete should look like, and screw that.
You guys are fucking awesome. Like, yeah. So fucking cool. You guys are the best.
Jessica?
Thank you. First, 1 in 9, just as common as diabetes and asthma. Right, that's the stats on endo. Second, it's not all doom and gloom. Really highly successful people can have endometriosis and manage it super, super well, which leads me to my last comment. You need to create a toolbox around you. Have a toolbox as women. We need to be able to refer throughout our whole life of key people who know what's going on for us, who are there to uphold our values and really help us on our healthcare journey, regardless of whatever's going on for you.
So if you're a woman or someone of a minority gender, you may be in this audience tonight or you may be listening globally. There will be lots of people listening who have endometriosis who do not know they have endometriosis. If you think you might, go to your doctor. If the doctor doesn't listen, tell them to listen, or go to another doctor.
Or go to Quendo. The Instagram page for Quendo has got a lot of...
Quendo.
Quendo, Q-E-N-D-O. So it's...
That's Queensland endometriosis.
Yes.
So wherever you are in the world, find the one for you. If you're in this audience, probably Quendo is your friend. It has been absolutely incredible to have this panel. Could we have a huge round of applause for Amy Shepherd?
Thanks for having me.
And if you're listening globally, Shepherd is spelled S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D, and the video for Kiss My Fat Ass is on YouTube. Big round of applause for Jessica Taylor. Check out the Endometriosis Association in Queensland and in Australia or wherever you are around the world. And silver medalist, and I am sure future medalist as a Paralympian and all-around incredible woman, Monique Murphy. Thank you so much. You're all going to stay up here because it is now time for Grace Petrie. Big round of applause for incredible lost legend Grace Petrie.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. So
we're recording this on the eve of Valentine's Day. Oh, that went over well, didn't it? Fucking hell. Sorry, guys. So I thought I'd sing you a love song. I was just going to check, have we got any fans in the room of Carl Sagan? Yeah, some in. So if you don't know Carl Sagan was a very famous cosmologist, and he did lots of amazing things in his career. He worked for NASA for many years, and one of the things he did is he worked on Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, which were our space probes that they sent out into the universe never to return. They're never supposed to return. They're supposed to take photographs of the universe and transmit them back to Earth. And it occurred to Carl Sagan's team at NASA that if they were going to make these things and send them out into space and never to come back, then there was a chance, a very small chance, but a chance that they might be discovered by aliens, right? So they decided to put something on board Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 that would tell the story of Earth and humanity and who we had been. And because this was in 1977, the form that took was a vinyl record. And onto that vinyl record, they recorded greetings in loads of different languages and samples of what they considered to be the best music that humans had ever produced, and then loads of sort of lovely hippie stuff like birdsong and the sound of a mother kissing her newborn baby for the first time. And they recorded all these things together and they put them onto a vinyl record which they gold-plated, and they put one on board Voyager 1 and one on board Voyager 2. And I love this story for so many reasons. And one of them is definitely the fact that in the 70s, this is just the kind of shit they spent government money doing. Do you know what I mean? making mixtapes for hypothetical aliens. Do you know? My government won't pay for essential services. So the person who was in charge of collecting all these pieces of music and sound together, the cultural curator of that project, was a woman named Anne Drian. And when she was very near the end of the project, she was just missing a piece of Chinese music, and she found this 2,500-year-old piece of Chinese music, and she knew that would be perfect. So she called up her NASA colleague, Carl Sagan. She called him up on the phone at 10:30 at night, and they spoke on the phone for an hour. And at the end of that hour-long phone call, Carl Sagan and Anne Drian were engaged, right? They weren't together at the start of the phone call. At the end of the phone call, they were engaged. This is completely true. And they got married and they stayed together until he died in 1996. And it even gets better than that, because she said to him, you know, we're trying to, you know, recreate humanity on these records. And you and me, we're falling in love. And that's one of the most incredible, amazing human experiences we can have, right? So they also decided on these records, alongside the bird song, alongside the newborn baby, alongside Beethoven and Mozart and Johnny B. Goode, right? There is also the sound of Carl Sagan and Andrian's heartbeats and their brainwaves when they were thinking about how amazing it was that of all the people on Earth, they'd found each other. And that's still making its way through the universe today. So happy Valentine's Day. This is called The Golden Record. If I could take down every inch of you in gold, engrave it in the metal of my soul, and send it out to worlds beyond those known, to find a cosmic gramophone. No listener would ever understand the lightning bolts between two grains of sand. Some people never witness shooting stars, most never know a love like ours. And I didn't know that my heart was closed till you came to unlock it. Yeah, you found the perfect song, and I couldn't stop it, not for anyone. So send it in a rocket, yeah, to play after I'm gone. You're the plug that fits my socket. All the lights came on. If I could reach beyond the stars that we can see, to sing for them a song of you and me, no amount of any greatest hits could explain the way it fits. And if I could buy till every beat my heart has missed, or that trembling in my hands when we first kissed. How time and space and sense and circumstance were gone when you began to dance. And I didn't know that my heart was closed till you came to unlock it. Yeah, you found the perfect song, and I couldn't stop it, not for anyone. So send me in a rocket, yeah, to play after I'm gone. You're the plug that fits my socket. All the lights came on. You're the plug that fits my socket. All the lights came on. That fits my socket, and all my lights came on.
You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances-White, guest co-host Steph Tisdall, and our very special guests Amy Shepherd, Monique Murphy and Jessica Taylor, with music from Shepherd and Grace Petrie. The producers were Tom Selinsky for The Spontaneity Shop and Jeff Ring for Australian Comedy Management. Thanks to everyone at the Powerhouse, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com.
Yeah. I'll take the microphone. Okay. I'm just putting it forward so you can speak if you want to. Okay. I've got this book. It's called The Well of Loneliness. It's a lesbian classic I've never read.
Great book, Travis.
That did it. Are there any men in the audience who would consider themselves a seven or above who could now speak to whether or not that did the trick? Just give us a cheer if you're a man who's a seven or above. Okay, what number would you give yourself? This is not okay. None of this is okay. Don't be replicating it. I'm not okay with it. I find all of this objectionable and wrong. But what number would you give yourself?
Stop this.
Not okay.
I don't want to hear it. I can't do this.
Not okay. Would you say
six at best?
Sorry, six at best. Aww. Oh, but he's a Ron who's a seven. Are you a Ron, sir? Would you give yourself Ron and Monica? Ronica? Yeah. Okay, great. So I would say you're a solid seven and a half. So, and it's not okay. It's not okay. I think we're going to have to edit this out because people are going to complain.
Now, I'm very sorry.
No, we'll probably leave it in because it's too funny. But it's not okay. How do you feel about... I'm not asking you to rate us individually, but as our... Did generally the glasses and hair, was it effective?
It's working for me.
It's working! Come on! Are you single? No, okay.
Is that not your girlfriend right next to you?
Oh, okay, all right. This has just got a bit awkward. Yeah.
It's okay, right. Before he said, I'm a feminist, but I'm just here for the eye candy. And he made
me. Oh! If you didn't hear that at the back, apparently, what's your name?
Lloyd,
earlier said to his girlfriend, I'm a feminist, but I'm just here for the eye candy. He said this before the show started, and he was apparently, according to his girlfriend, referring to me. I should not be fine with that.
I was just going to say, this is not okay, but I saw this little curved smile, like...
This is
terrible.
Terrible. Not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. I'm outraged. And I'll be outraged tonight when I'm in bed about that as well. This has gone really. No,
last night's
show
wasn't like this, Stefan. I think it's you.
I think it is me.
Thank you so much to all of our patrons, but especially those who are supporting us at the Smash the Patriarchy level or above. Valerie Marr, Sarah Belcher, Jonquil Coy, Sarah Brown, Ruby Rose Thompson, Sarah Boom, and Philip Engelhart.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.